Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your peace, your understanding. Father, thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for the Holy Spirit giving him to us. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can revolutionize the Word of God in a different way, that we can see things differently and in a fresh way. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Tonight we'll start off in chapter 1, finally. And I took those sessions that we've had before to kind of prelude you to what to expect out of this particular book. I want to ruffle your religious feathers so that when we start talking about different aspects in this book, it won't be just the same old normal way of thinking towards the church. As a matter of fact, the church is not the foundation for God and what he wants to do. The kingdom is. The church is a part of the kingdom. The kingdom is not part of the church. The church is a part of the kingdom. Listen, I hope you heard me, Internet. The church is a part of the kingdom. So that means that that if the church is part of the kingdom, then we have to revolutionize, thank you, Holy Spirit, the way we think about church, yes, the purpose of church, why we go to church on Sunday mornings, why we go to Wednesday night Bible study on Tuesday night or whatever night you go, why do we do these things? So if the church is a part of the kingdom. Now, we've been taught that the kingdom are not so much taught, but we've been so church or religious oriented that we've thought that the church, that the kingdom was in the church. So we thought the church was the end all to be all. But actually, the church is just the beginning of what's supposed to happen. So we'll understand why we come to church, why we have pastors, why we have leaders in the church. And so I wanted to, the first couple of sessions, I wanted to redefine faith. I wanted to get you from a self-centric perspective of Christianity to a God-centric perspective of Christianity. Or being like Christ. That's all Christianity is talking about, being like Christ. And so in doing that, we found out that faith does not produce what we want. It's to produce what God wants. And because of that, that's how our desires are fulfilled. You got me?
Yes, sir.
So our faith no longer is just focused on us. Our faith is focused on what God wants. I cannot be faithful until I'm full of what God wants. See, faithful is not about being consistent, because you could consistently be wrong. You can consistently be wrong. So faithful is not about being consistent, or faithful is not about me showing up to the church every time the door is open. Yes,
right.
Just because you show up to the hospital every time the door is open don't mean you're going to get healed.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you're a doctor.
Yes, sir.
Right.
There's some things that you got to do.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So understanding that the church is a part of the kingdom, that lets us know that the church is supposed to be a place in which we come to meet God. Let me say it a better way. not so much meet God, but experience him in a way that we've never experienced him before. That's a better way to put it. Because really, God is with us all the time. So it's not a place, we're not going there to meet God, but we're going there to be exposed to a dimension of God that, hey, thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll go to church. We come to church to be exposed to a dimension of God that we can't reach on our own. See, now it takes away the connotation of being a loner. I can hear God all for myself. Well, I mean, that's fine, but you're only going to hear certain things from God on your own. You're only going to hear certain things. One of the things about the apostolic, one of the ring of words that you're going to hear over and over about the apostolic is accountability. Being accountable. Everybody that God mightily used in the Bible was accountable to somebody else. There was nobody was on an island on their own. They were always accountable. What that means, it means that we have to work together. We have to respect each other. We have to honor each other. We have to walk in honor. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we come to church. We come to church so that we can experience God in a way that we can't experience him by ourselves. Why? Because each one of us are carrying the measure of faith. Right? So if I'm all by myself, there are a bunch of other measures that I'm missing. Is this making sense? So I cannot be an island. See, one of the misconceptions we have about men and women of God that was used in the Bible and that are used in our current times is we only see them in a, because of our physical eyes, because of how we perceive things, we only see them as a single individual. But they are standing on shoulders of people that came before them that laid a path by which they can walk by. Are you seeing this? So without, I got great example. Without Miriam, Moses would have never got the opportunity to be who he was. But that does not give Miriam the right to override apostolic authority. So Moses needed Miriam, but Miriam also needed Moses. So that's why you have to walk in honor, so that synergy can take place. So that's why we come to church, so that we can experience God in a different way with people of like precious faith. To strengthen us and to mature us so that we can take the kingdom to the world. Because remember now, the church is a part of the kingdom. The kingdom is not in the church. The church is in the kingdom. So that means the kingdom has to be much more broader than the church.
Right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we have to change the way why we come to church. We have to change the reason why we come to church. We've been so been taught about being. It's about us all the time that we come to church looking for what we can get out of church.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you won't get anything out of church? No, you're gonna get some answers, you're gonna get some revelation, you're gonna get some insight. But if your focus is all about what I can get out of it for me, how I can make my life better by coming to church, then you're going to limit yourself to all what God wants to do with you. Because a person who is selfish can't be trusted. A person who is selfish can't be trusted no kind of way, because you don't know their motives. You don't know why they're doing what they do. You're not quite sure. So a person who is self-centered can't be trusted. That's why God talks against ego, against pride. He talks against those things because those things are connotation of self-centeredness.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yes,
sir. Are you seeing this? Genesis 28. I want you to understand that your answers to your situations are not in the natural. They are in the supernatural. And so when we come to church, looking for just our answers, you're actually coming to church in the flesh. And you will never experience the supernatural if you stay in the flesh. You're going to have to let the flesh go and let your situations go so that you can maneuver in the supernatural. Your problems, listen to me, your problems, your situations are barriers, are placed there to be barriers from you getting into the supernatural on purpose by Satan. If Satan gets you to focus on your problems, if he can get you to focus on what's wrong with your life, then what's righteous about your life? See, that's why I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in other words, because Christ died on the cross, that was his faith. That was his assignment. Because he died on the cross in the flesh, I now have the right to shift from the natural to the supernatural. Sin can't hold me back. Problems can't hold me back. Matter of fact, your problems don't want you to shift to the supernatural, because as soon as you shift to the supernatural, they've lost all grip. You know what it's like when you shift from the natural to the supernatural, you have problems? It's like dealing with somebody you can't control. We also know people, I don't want to bring them nowhere with me. Because I'm not quite sure how they're going to act when we get there. And there's nothing I can do to control them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and lead them along, lead them where they're at.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's how your problems feel when you shift to the supernatural. Wow. There's nothing that will probably, you got to get to the point to where you just don't care. This is not going to bother me. This is not going to bother me to the point to where I can't function in the supernatural. Because as soon as you get to the supernatural, the problem, no, is dealt with. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Genesis 28, verse 11. Talking about Jacob. Jacob coming to a certain place. That certain place is a place where he met God. Genesis 28 and 11. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under, I'm in the Message Bible, set, so I want you to hear this. You follow me in the King James. He took one of the stones, set it under his head, and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed a stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. Then God was right before him, saying, I am God, the God of Abraham. Verse 13. I hope you keep up in the King James. You keeping up? When you hear it, you read the King James, when you hear the Message, it kind of helps you get a little clarity. All right. Then God was right before him, saying, I am God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They will stretch from the west to the east, from the north to the south. All the families of the earth will be blessed, will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I've promised you. Jacob woke up from his sleep. He said, God is in this place. Verse 16, truly. And I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. Now, I want you to see this. Jacob was at a certain place and he experienced God in a way that he never experienced him before, which expanded his horizon on who God is. God became bigger to him than his situation. God became bigger to him than where he was. There's something about getting in the presence of God that expands your capacity to receive him. It's amazing how we have to get in his presence to expand our capacity to receive him, to receive all who he is. That can't happen in the flesh. It can't happen just in your mental realm. You're going to have to be able to shift to the supernatural and go to a place where you're not in control, so that God can mold you and shape you as he see fit. So we're going to have to shift from having just normal church to coming and expecting church unusual. Church that's out of the norm.
Right.
Expecting the miraculous to happen.
Yes,
not just coming to church thinking, okay, we're going to sing. We're going to do the welcome. Then he's going to minister. He's going to minister about 45, 50 minutes. Then he's going to do the altar call. Then we're going to get out of here. And I've done my religious duty for the week. See, I want you all to begin to make the shift that Sunday morning is not an extracurricular activity. When I say Sunday morning,
yes,
I'm talking about the times when you gather and meet,
yes,
as a family with your local church. Listen a minute. It's not just an extracurricular activity. So now, all right, now, shifting from the natural. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me about this. Shifting from the natural to the supernatural takes discipline.
Yes, sir.
It's take discipline. It's not for the lazy.
Yes,
sir. I take Sunday morning and being on time,
mm-hmm,
just as serious,
right,
as I take being on time Monday morning.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
See, all of that is a part of shifting from the natural to the supernatural. Because remember now, if you're self-centric, you come into church to get your word. So if you come into church to get your word, then you're not focused on no other part of the service, but just the part where you can get what you need. But if you're God-centric, whatever God or time, whatever time God has ordained through your pastor, man or woman of God in leadership as a time, we're going to come together so that we can summons God.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's, wow. See, that's what church service. Wow. We come together to summons God. The Bible says he inhabits. The praises of his people. That's what it say, right? That's the word. He say inhabits the praises of people. So that means God comes in and makes him and manifests himself,
yeah,
when people come together and begin to praise him. He say God inhabits the praises of his people.
Uh-huh.
More than one.
Yeah.
So if I don't take time to worship God with my family, with my church family, then that means I'm not concerned about summoning God for none of them. So that's why it takes discipline. I'm not going to get to church when I think praise and worship is over. I'm not going to get to church when I think it's convenient for me to get there. This is a appointed time that is set for God to meet us. Let me say it. For us to experience God. We're not meeting God. God is with us. But when we come together, we're going to experience God in a way that we're not going to experience him by ourselves. Are y'all getting this? So we have to go from just regular church. Watch this. It's not based, listen to me, it's not based on how anointed your pastor is.
Right.
Jesus was the most anointed leader the most anointed pastor, the most anointed evangelist, anointed prophet, anointed teacher, anointed apostle that has ever walked the land and has ever will walk the land. And he had a traitor. So it's not based on how anointed your leader is. It's based on how hungry you are. One of the things I love about Moses, if you read the whole time Moses was working on behalf of the children of Israel for God, dealing with Pharaoh, it came to one point where those plagues began to set in. Pharaoh was dissatisfied, and the children of Israel was dissatisfied. So Moses was a man following God pretty much by himself. And you know one thing the Bible did not mention? That he needed substance from either side.
That's true.
So my point is, Moses was anointed to do what he was doing, and the children of Israel almost got left behind, not because he wasn't anointed, it's because they were getting frustrated and disgusted and didn't want to follow orders. So it's not based, listen, it's not based on how anointed your man or woman of God is, whether you're getting through your issues or not. It's based on how hungry you are. The Bible says Jesus went through a town and could do no mighty works. So what the Bible said he began to do? He began to teach them. He began to teach them or change the way they thought. So if I come to church on a Sunday morning and I'm just here because of obligation, then of course church going to be flat. Ain't nothing going to happen. Because I ain't come expecting nothing. I ain't looking for nothing to happen. Matter of fact, the Saints play at 11. And I need it to be over as soon as possible. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes,
see, when you come to church, it ought to be, I'm looking for something to happen out of the ordinary.
Right.
I don't quite know what it is or how it's going to happen, but I'm looking for something to happen out of the ordinary. I'm looking for something to take place that hasn't happened before. See, the service is not just based on how well the leader teaches, how well the pastor ministers. See, it doesn't, that has very little to do with it. If I'm not ready to receive, if I didn't come for the purposes of God, I come for my self-serving motives, then I'm going to limit what happens in the service. How many ever been in services where the leader makes a shift and it dampens? Well,
wow.
I've been in meetings with an apostle where I trust him enough. I know when he makes a move, God spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that God spoke to him. When he made the move, if the people didn't want to go.
Right.
So we have to understand that this certain place is a place that we come so that we can experience God like we've never experienced him before. That's what happened to Jacob. And Jacob got to the point, Jacob said, God was in this place. Now, don't be like Jacob. Jacob said, God was in this place, and I didn't even know it. Here we are on this side of the cross. God give us ordained times. Then the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. So it's guaranteed that when people come together and begin to praise God, that he shows up. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he can make it good. He's not going to change. So if people come together and begin to praise God, he's going to show up. So here we are. We got two advantages. Number one, we have an ordained time that we know God is going to show up. The second advantage we have is we know how to get God definitely to show up. He inhabits the praise of his people.
Wow.
So now this is why in LTBA churches, shifts are being made in the praise and worship. It's no longer music just to make us feel good. The songs are being shifted from being us focused to being God focused. See, it's not so much about what God is going to do for us. It's about how much we adore him. You see? So when that focus changes, because when you start focusing on what God can do for you, you think God is expanding, but it's really your problem expanding. Because the only reason why you're singing what God can do for you is because you're in the back of your mind, you know you got this problem. But when I shift my focus off of my problems, off of my situation, and shift them on him, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. So if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, that is a coming together. That is a becoming a oneness with God. When we do that, our focus is taken off of what we're dealing with. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what it is. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll come back. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we'll come back to Genesis. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now that question is very serious, because problems are problems because we can't do nothing about them. That's why it's a problem.
Right.
If you could do something about it, it wouldn't be a
problem. Right?
So if my attention and focus is trying to solve this problem, then this is going to expand. What'd you focus on expand? So relationships, I mean, if you got a problem in relationships, if you keep trying to solve them yourself, it's going to expand. So the best way to get in a relationship issue solved is to not focus on that. Focus on your relationship with him so he can give you wisdom. Is this making sense? See, so me thinking about the problem ain't going to solve nothing. I need to be thinking about the solution. What if I ain't got no solution? Yeah, you got a solution. God is your solution. You looking for specific what, how I can get this. What, well, you back on self-centric. You back on selfishness now. See, well, you back on me. But when you focus on him, this is going to be taken care of. I know it's hard to grasp, but because so long we've been coming to church to solve our problems.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Right. We've been coming to church to solve all our issues. Do you realize that being born again is not about solving your issues? Being born again is becoming alive to who God really made you to be. Once you become alive to who God has really created you to be, then all your problems are no issue. See, a lot of people get born again because they won't get rid of problems. That's why after they get born again, problems don't leave. Problems only leave when you take your focus off of them and put them on him. You get solutions, you get insight, you get wisdom, and you can deal with things that you couldn't deal with before because now your focus is on him. And here's the wonderful thing about it. The Bible says, quote scriptures all over, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, let's break this down. Seek ye first God's ways of doing things and doing them his way right. Now, if I begin to seek out God's ways of doing things and doing his way right, remember kingdom, seek ye first his kingdom. Remember, the church is in the kingdom. The kingdom is not in the church. So I come to church because I want to get more, know more about his kingdom. I'm seeking him first. Not just showing up to church with me seeking him first. I come here with him on my mind to experience him in a way I've never experienced him before. When I do that, I become trustworthy. When I become trustworthy, God knows I become predictable. To God. When I become predictable to God, that means God can use me. When I make myself available for God to use, I have just made myself valuable to God. So when I make myself valuable to God, God cannot afford to have me not focused on him. So when he cannot afford to have me not focused on him, that's when he steps in to take care of all of my situations. Because I don't need to be focused on this. I need to be focused on him. And see, watch how this works together. I don't mean to overload you, but watch how this works. The Bible says, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? So here it is. When I put my focus on him, whatever a man doeth. So when I put my focus on him, he has to put his focus on me. That's why Matthew 6:33 makes so much sense. See, we thought seek ye first, meaning if I just go through the religious rituals. I go to church. I go to prayer. I wake up every morning, I pray. I read my scriptures every day. But the question is, Jesus said this in John 5:39, I think it was. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. So every time I open my Bible, I'm looking for God. When I look for God, that means I find myself. I hope y'all seeing this. So church for us is not just a weekly ritual. Right. Now for 90% of the body of Christ, it's a ritual. Okay. Give you an example. We have communion on second Sunday at Word of Life. Some other church, you have it on what? Fourth Sunday. It varies over four Sunday. Well, I promise you, I ain't got to come to your church. Whatever church it is, watch me, and I ain't got to come to church. Whatever Sunday you have communion on, I ain't got to come to it. I promise you, there's more people.
Amen. That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
You are not lying.
Yep. On communion Sunday, yep. Than any other Sunday of the month.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's true.
That's right.
Why? Because they're thinking about themselves. I need to take this communion because I have done some stuff. I need to get myself cleansed. And the original purpose of communion is to just to remind you of who you are. The Bible says, who drinketh the cup unworthily? That does not mean drinking in sin. That means drinking it not knowing who you are. That's what it really means. It has nothing to do. Listen, do you know how many people that have dropped dead already? Communion, drink communion, unworthily meant drinking it in sin. People be dropping dead left and right. We be having funeral services every communion Sunday. Matter of fact, people wouldn't show up on communion Sunday if that's what that meant. What it means to drink it unworthily, it simply means drinking it or trying to remember it. Why should remember his death without really realizing who you are? See, that's why if you really knew who you were, you wouldn't be self-centered. If you really knew who you were, Internet, you really wouldn't come to church looking for your answers. Because you realize that you are the answer. Is this making sense? See, I'm talking about church unusual. I'm talking about getting beyond religion, getting beyond denominations. You having a relationship and fellowship with God that puts you in the same category with Moses had. Same category with Abraham had. Where God turned around and said, this is my friend. You know, you're dealing with something and God comes and asks you, how do you want to deal with this?
Oh, my goodness.
That's what he did with Abraham when he was getting ready to go destroy that city.
Yes, sir.
Abraham said, God, hold on. Let me see if I can find 50.
Right.
God, don't destroy. Let me see if I can find 40. And God would not go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Abraham gave him. That's the kind of relationship. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you. But he cannot get that kind of relationship with you if he can't trust you. If he know that you're not for him. See, this is why covenant is important. We have to get out of understanding covenant as an agreement. Okay, you do your part, I'm going to do my part. That's how I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless. You see, I'm going to do what God is calling me to do regardless, because I'm not really concerned about being benefiting from what you're going to do for me. I'm more concerned about being trustworthy to God, because God is all powerful. He's all knowing and he's everywhere. Whatever was supposed to happen through covenant with another person that didn't happen, God can make up. That's why I stay focused on my path regardless of what anybody else does. You seeing this?
Yes,
so church unusual is about you going to church, realizing that I'm not coming for me, for my problems. I'm coming so that I can be exposed to who I am.
Yes,
so I can be exposed to who I am.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Every time. And see, this is why, once again, this is why you have to have an apostolic leader. And it's apostolic leader, what that means, number one, they're accountable. Not to you. Not even to another man, to another woman. Which makes them accountable to you. See, apostle has reached a level of maturity that he now has surrounded himself with 12 men that respect him enough to let him hear God and let God deal with him. See, trustworthiness is about you learning to hear the voice of God on what you're supposed to do and not worried about what everybody else is doing. Give you example. My only instructions when it comes to Apostle Thompson is that is my apostolic leader. That's who I am to follow. So now I'm not going around looking for him to make mistakes so I can find a reason to jump off the ship.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I'm looking to cover.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking to expose. I'm looking to cover. See, that's why Ham, Noah, Ham, that's why he got cursed.
Right. Yeah.
Because Noah got intoxicated off his own success. But yet his intoxication didn't disannul his apostolic leadership. And his apostolic authority. Are you seeing this? So that's why you have to find a leader that you can trust, that you know that will follow God no matter what. Doesn't matter what anybody else say, they're going to follow God, which makes it, well, watch this, which makes it easier for you to follow.
Right.
See, and one of the ways, one of the clear marks that a man or woman is following God no matter what is when God connect them to somebody else. Wow. See, Apostle Thompson, we had a, when Brother Hagin, Apostle Thompson's spiritual father, when he was alive, we had an surety that Apostle at the time, doctor at the time, pastor, wouldn't veer off to the left or right, because he would let Brother, he was so submitted to Brother Hagin that Brother Hagin didn't even have to be here, would see it in the supernatural, speak something in his life, and know he got to make those changes. That's connection. And so we got to expect that in church unusual. Church unusual means that you're not by yourself. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Whatever situation you're dealing with, you are not by yourself. Your apostolic leadership may not know you're going through it, but they are in there with you. That's why on Sunday mornings, when you come looking for God, God comes looking for you. So you're going to look for God, God come looking for you. It ain't nothing but a love fest.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And wherever love is, everything else got to be dispelled. Because the Bible says that God is love. Am I making sense? I hope I'm changing your connotation about church. About not just church, about when we come together. When your apostolic leader might call a special session, or may call a meeting, or may have a seminar in place, or whatever it may be. When that time has been ordained, you can specifically know that God is going to show up.
Right. Absolutely.
So me knowing that God is showing up, I am going to be disciplined to be there, because I want to be where God is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, God is with me, but I'm going to see God in a way I've never seen him before. Why? Because my other brothers and sisters are going to be there expecting the same thing. So your expectancy added to my expectancy, all of our expectancy added to each other expectancy, means God is going to show up, because he can't let all of us down.
Right.
I hope this is making sense.
Yes, sir.
See, Jacob experienced God and didn't even realize it.
Wow.
Didn't even realize it. Wow. You cannot, once again, I'm closing with this, you cannot have church unusual in the flesh.
Right.
What it means to have church unusual in the flesh, that doesn't mean you got to bring your body.
Yeah.
Obviously. What it means is bringing all your earthly cares with you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. In the flesh.
If you got to bring them with you, the Bible tells to lay them on the altar.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why they say lay it on the altar, right? They say lay it on the altar so they get burnt up.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Right.
So they get burnt up.
Uh-huh.
They get burnt up so they don't no longer uh-huh. occupy your attention.
Come on, sir.
So they don't occupy your attention so that your energies and your focus could be on him.
Right.
So that he can expand in your life.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So when you come to church on whatever Sunday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, whenever your Bible study is, you have to take, and now watch this. Remember I talked about discipline.
Yes, sir.
Next year, we're going to get to talking about the mind. I'm dealing with the second year students on the mind now. But I give you a little excerpt because it's important about discipline. You have to focus your mind and talk to yourself and say, I'm going to church because I'm going to see God in a way I've never seen him before. You have to remind yourself about this, because if you don't remind yourself about this, your mind will wander off focusing on your problems. You have to remind yourself. Listen a minute. You have to remind yourself. This is why I'm going to church. I'm not going to church because I'm just going to get answers for my situation. I'm going to church because I want to meet God in a way I've never met him before. And that prayer, that statement would not get old. Right. The reason why it won't get old is because you can live 1,000 lifetimes and you will never experience all of God.
Right.
You can live 1,000 lifetimes, you'll never experience all of God. So now you're saying, okay, God, okay, self. We're going to experience God in a way we've never experienced him before. Now it opens the door for God to use your apostolic leader in ways that he's never used him or her before.
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
It opens the leeway. There are no breaks. There are no hesitations.
Yeah.
There is no skepticism. If there's any in a place, there's enough for us to override it. Are you saying this?
Yes, sir.
So I'm shifting from self-centric to God-centric.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm coming to see what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times your problem's going to be solved not by your direct involvement.
Right.
I wish you grabbed that. A lot of your problems are going to be solved not by your direct involvement,
uh-huh.
but by your direct involvement in what God wants.
Wow. Wow.
Which Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall also reap. That's a law. So now when you have direct involvement with what God wants to do, that gives God the right to have direct involvement with what you want to do. I hope y'all seeing this.
Yes. Yes.
So sometimes God will give you instructions that's nowhere near related to your problem. So now watch how confusion sets in. Watch how confusion sets in. And I'm closing here. Watch how confusion sets in. If I come to church looking for my answer, I fool around and won't hear no answer. But that don't mean God wasn't talking to me. But because my focus was not on him, but on me, I will miss what he's trying to tell me, which is the answer to the problem. I'm gone. Y'all have a good night.